This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
Chapter 11, we're teaching our fourth lesson on the faith process. We're going to deal with the confession component, All right, there in verse 11, Mark chapter, verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now underline that, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you what? Shall have them. Now, in our last lesson, we dealt with believing, the believing component. And the next component that we see there in verse 24 is the shall have. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. So we looked at the asking, the praying part. We understand we have to qualify desires by the word of God. And then we ask the Father in Jesus' name. Then the Bible says, must believe we receive. And I must believe it at the moment I pray. I can only have what I can believe I receive when I pray. Then the scripture says here, and you shall have them. Now the shall having part is better explained in verse 23. So you look at the reference in verse 23 because it talks about the having part. It says, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. We already covered the believing, right? He shall have whatsoever he saith. So out of a believing heart, I understand that I got to say it and 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 say it. Now, remember, for every promise, for every principle, and for every prophecy, there is a faith process that brings to pass. Part of the faith process is the confession out of your mouth. Now, a confession, a faith confession, is a statement that I choose to make in agreement with what God's word says, regardless of my situation. Regardless of how it looks, regardless of circumstances, I choose by an act of my will. I am not in denial of the facts that are going around. I understand I don't have any money. You understand? I'm out here writing hot checks. But I still can choose to say what God says. And he says he will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So a faith confession is a statement that is in agreement with the word of God. Now turn with your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Understanding the order of God is that faith is not magic, but the manifestation process is a progressive reality, progressive spiritual process, a progressive natural process. So in Mark chapter 4, where it talks about how the word manifests, how the word brings manifestation, there in verse 26, it says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man cast seed into the ground and the seed. Now, the seed in this parable is the word of God. It's synonymous to the word of God. The ground is synonymous to the heart of man, all right, the spirit of man. So it says, and should sleep and rise night and day, the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. He's telling me now that I don't have to know in the beginning how it's going to happen. Remember, because when I'm in faith, I have these expectations. And one of the expectations is a plan of action. We'll get to later on. But I got to know that, you know, God's going to give me a plan of action. Amen. Amen. So I don't have to know. I can start off in faith not knowing how it's going to come to pass. Now, if you'd asked me, you know, 17 years ago about how this was going to happen, I didn't know. But I was in faith. Amen. And so I got to understand, I cannot be intimidated because I don't know. And that's an intimidation factor, because most people try to shrink God down to what they can figure out. Instead of leaving the door open for what God wants to do, they'll shrink him down and say, okay, no, God, you can't do this because I don't have this connection, that connection. I don't do that. I understand the Bible says I don't have to know how. All the pressure's off of me. I don't have to know. We're going to build Love City. I don't have to know how. I mean, and it's an incredible place, too, that we're going to be building for our kids. Incredible place. It'll probably be worth about $30 million when we finish. Now, it's not going to take us $30 million to build it, but it'll be worth about $30 million when we finish. Now, how are we going to do it? I don't know. I don't have to. I'm not. Do I look like I'm pressured? Doesn't look like I'm under stress and strain. Not a bit. Because this scripture freed me up. And she'll sleep and rise night and day. And the seed or the word should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Glory be to God. All right. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. So I understand it's progressive. Everybody say it's progressive. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. It is progressive. So this is not magic. It's not something that's going to happen. A faith manifestation doesn't necessarily happen overnight. Of course, the miraculous can take place. And when the miraculous takes place, of course, you know, that's the intervention of God where he suspends the natural law to bring his will to pass. But I can't predict miracles. I don't know when miracles are going to happen. I'm open for them, but I can't predict the outcome of my faith. So in Proverbs chapter 13, again, we see the progressive nature of God. Even with the promise of prosperity, it's progressive. All right, look there in verse 11. It says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. The Amplified says, wealth not earned, but won in haste or unjustly from the production of things for vain or detrimental use. Such riches will dwindle away. But he who gathers little by little will increase his riches. See, that's the plan of God, little by little. It's progressive. Everybody says progressive. So you got to understand that, and you're going to have to be settled that the manifestation of the objective of your faith is going to be progressively revealed, progressively come to pass, and you'll be settled with it. Amen? All right, watch this. Now, watch this. Turn with me your Bibles now to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, you can look in the Old Testament and you see some examples of things being progressive, manifestation being progressive. The woman who came, the widow in 2 Kings chapter 4 came, and of course she had a very bad problem. Her problem was that, you know, the creditors were coming to take her son. And her problem wasn't solved overnight. What happened was the prophet gave her a plan of action. She had to first go borrow vessels. She had to go in a house, you know, shut the door with her and the children. And then, you know, act in faith and start pouring out of the little vessel that she had, out of the little oil that she had. She had to use what she had. And God caused the multiplication, but she still had a problem. Still had no money, had a lot of oil. Then he gave her the next step of the plan. Go sell the oil, then pay your debt and live off the rest. So it was progressive. You follow me? He just didn't reach in his pocket and say, okay, here's the money. No, it was progressive. And that's what a lot of people can't hardly deal with, that it's progressive. Got it? It is progressive. And you got to be settled that every step moves you closer to the objective of your faith. Amen. Now, if you're not in competition with anybody, you can be settled in the process. Yeah. But if you're in competition, you start getting frustrated and fretful because the pressure is on you. You know, is it going to actually come to pass so folks can see that what I said is going to actually happen? Yeah. But if you don't have any pressure on you because you're settling the process, you just let the process work and you enjoy the ride. Glory to God. All right, watch this. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Now, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices because he will come to challenge every righteous resolve. Every faith project, the devil will challenge in the area of your believing and in the area of your having confidence in the process. So verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. So faith is a fight. So I got to understand that when I'm going to operate in faith, that I have a fight on my hand. Fight is not necessarily with the devil, but it is with his encroachments, as it were, in your thought life because he tries to talk you out of it. Yeah. Got it? And so I understand the Bible lets me know that this is not, some walk in the park, but it is a fight. All right? Look within your Bibles now to Hebrews chapter 10. We must hold fast. So I got to understand that this is a process. I have to be serious about the commitment to this process because my faith will be challenged. Amen. Glory to God. What I love about the Word of God is that it leaves no stone unturned. I understand that when I'm in faith, it's going to be a fight. Hallelujah. But it's a good fight because it's a fight I win. Verse 23, Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promise. So I understand that I may be tempted to waver, but the Bible says don't waver. Look at the person next to you and say, don't waver. Amen. So you start wavering when you become intimidated by other people and by the length of time it may take. And so you get off of your confession. You start changing it. You start tempering it down, toning it down. Don't waver. Be bold. You don't have to know how. And you don't have anything to lose. Look at the person and say, be bold.
Be bold.
Yeah, you got nothing to lose. You don't have to start wavering. Amen. Well, I told everybody I was going to have a house. Well, you can get the house.
Amen.
Don't give it up because it's taking long. Don't give it up. Don't a long time. Don't give it up because you got turned down for your mortgage. You know, your mortgage company didn't think you had enough points to turn you down. Don't give up. Amen. Look at verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that if you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Don't give up.
Amen.
Maybe taking a little longer than you wanted to take, but it's working.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. All right. Scripture tells us we will reap in due season if we what?
Faith
not. Now that's the discipline you have to have if you're going to walk by faith.
Yeah.
And you don't walk by faith. You don't give it up when you're challenged.
Yeah.
When the circumstances around you don't line up with what you're saying, you still need to say what God says.
Amen.
Amen? Now, here's why. Because you need to understand that the dynamic power of your spoken word. Now, unfortunately, we were not taught this when we were growing up. We didn't think it mattered what we said. But according to the word of God, it does matter what you say. That as a spirit being, when you speak, things are happening. You make things happen in the realm of the spirit. Now, turn to Gospel of John chapter 6. As a spirit being, when you speak, you make things happen in the spirit realm. So I got to understand that when I say something, boy, I set things in motion. Hallelujah. All right, John chapter 6. Look that with me in verse 63. Are you there? John chapter 6, verse 63. Says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words, this is Jesus now, but Jesus is the pattern. Remember, he walked the earth as a man now. He says, the words that I speak, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. So my words have spirit life. It is the way that I transact business in the spirit realm. Your words are spirit life. Your words have power. Amen. Now, the Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. Everybody say, my words mean something. All right. Go back to Hebrews 11 and 3 now. Remember, the God kind of faith is the faith of God or the way God operates. So in Hebrews 11 and 3, it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. How? Oh, my God. By the word of God. The worlds were framed by the word. If you go to Genesis, you see the example of it. The Bible says, and God said, let that be. God said, let that be. And after God said it, he saw something. And what he saw, he said it was good. So I got to understand, my words have power. So when I listen, when the Bible says, a man who believes what he saith shall come to pass, you got to know that when you open your mouth and say something, things start happening. Glory be to God. Amen. All right, now, so let's look at some of these things that are affected in the spirit world by my words. Turn to Psalms 103. Psalms 103, verse 20. Angels are dispatched by my words. Amen. All right, verse 20. It says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So when I give voice to his word, angels get their orders. The Bible talks about Daniel and how Daniel was praying. And the angel came to Daniel after he had been held up several days. And he said, I am come for thy words. Oh, that's good to know, isn't it? And I think every now and then you got to remind yourself that when you're making a confession, your words are not just going out into empty space. But when you're making a confession, things are happening. Because you are a spirit being, and when you speak faith-filled words, things happen. Look with me in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 4. Demonic forces are restrained when you open your mouth. That is the way I take authority over the devil, because I do it with the words of my mouth. Jesus did it with his words. He's my example. And so the Bible says, if we believe, those who believe will cast out devils. I got to understand, I exercise my authority over the demon forces with my words. Amen. All right. So in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted of the devil. And the Bible says, are you there? Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look there at verse 7. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Look at verse 10. And then Jesus said, and then says Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve. On every occasion, Jesus opened his mouth and spoke. It says, verse 11, and then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. My words make things happen. Your words make things happen. Faith-filled words spoken out of a believing heart makes things happen. I love it. Watch this. Turn with me your Bibles now to this is one of the excellent parts of faith. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Bible says, I'll have whatsoever I say. Bible says, I'll have whatsoever I say. Amen. And the worlds were framed by the word of God. So I got to understand, the force of faith is released by my mouth. The force of faith is released. It's invisible, but it's real. The force of faith. Everybody say the force of faith. All right, watch this. Watch this. Hallelujah. Verse 5. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Oh, I love that. And it should obey you. Did you hear that? That the force of faith caused things to obey you. Just like God formed his world with the words of his mouth, you have the ability to form your world with the words of your mouth. And this is why the devil tries to intimidate you in the area of speaking. And see, the Bible says that, you know, corrupt things and good things cannot come out of the same fountain. So that's why you have to really guard the things that you say on an ongoing basis. Can't get caught up in mess. Can't get caught up in corrupt communication. Because what you don't understand is you are fouling up the power of your words to work in your behalf in something good. Hallelujah. Now, so the force of faith is released by my words. Now, turn with me your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Even before you, let me say it like this. Even as you are building yourself up to believe, you ought to speak. Because as you speak, you help build yourself up to believe. Romans 10:17 says what? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by. So when you speak the word, guess who hears it? You hear it. So you're building up your faith. Turn with me your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 again. This is an element of faith that when I'm confessing the word of God, that it's like me charging myself, me helping build myself up. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the word of God. So I can start off confessing the word, speaking and agreeing with God's word, even though my believing may not be where it needs to be, but I ought to start anyway. I don't think I need to try to wait until I fully believe before I start saying it. Because by me saying it was going to help me believe it. And then one day, I'm going to say it out of a believing heart, and things are going to start clicking. And see, I don't have anything to lose even if I don't believe it right now. I'm saying what God's word says. So even though I don't believe it, I'm not losing anything. No, I'm just saying, you know, right now, the Bible says the blessing of the Lord make it rich and he added no sorrow. The furthest thing from your mind right now is how you could ever be rich. You understand? You're way behind in all your bills. You ain't got no job. You understand? You ain't got no education. You know, everybody's talking about how bad the economy is. I mean, right now, the farthest thing from your mind is the blessing of the Lord making rich, you being rich. You follow me? And you can almost be intimidated by saying it. But what do you have to lose in saying it? Whether you say it or not, you still ain't got nothing. Bills still laugh. So you see what I'm saying? You don't have anything to lose. And the folk that's going to laugh at you, they ain't going to give you no money anyway. So you don't have anything to lose. That's the way I saw it. I had nothing to lose. I was broke. They had no members. They had nothing. So by me saying, you know, what the word of God said about me, I had nothing to lose. Amen. You know, doctor may be telling you, look, your situation is incurable. And man, everybody you know that have had that may never have overcome it. That doesn't mean you can't say, I believe by his stripes I'm healed. He healeth all my sickness, all my diseases. Whether you say it or not, the doctor's diagnosis didn't change. And nobody didn't say, you can't take your medicine if you say that. So you didn't lose. You can still be taking your medicine. So you're still following every natural order that the doctor says. But in addition to that, now you're putting your faith on it. You got it? You're putting the spiritual force on it by saying it. And right now, you don't believe it. That's all right. Keep saying it. When God spoke to me and told me I would take the gospel around the world by way of television, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. All I could think of was being on television and paying, you know, umpteen number of television stations, you know, monthly bills. And I gotta tell you, it's really expensive being on television. Serious. And I know some people paying $3 million plus a month just to be on television. Preachers, I mean, you know, and I applaud them. That's their assignment. You got it? My God, I don't pay that much money. I don't want to believe in that. That's just me. I'm just saying, you know, because it's not my assignment. I don't want to believe it. And, but God still told me that, so I still had to say it. Then God brought to me clarity on it, that it was the satellite network system. And with the satellite, we have the capacity and the ability to put the gospel anywhere in the world. We have our own uplink system. That's what God was saying. But I kept saying it till it came to pass, till it gave me clarity on it. But I remember every time I used to say it, and I used to dread, I don't want to be paying on the telephone bill. Amen. Now watch this. This is important. Verse 14. Now you may not get a whole lot out of this, but it says, the sower soweth the word. That's it. That's it. The sower soweth the word. The question is, who is the sower? See, you want to think, I'm the sower. No. If a person wants a harvest, do they sow seed in somebody else's field or they sow in their own field? Got it? Farmers don't go to their neighbor's field and plant seed. They plant seed in their own fields. So see, it's not enough for you to just hear me preach the word. You got to take the seed that I give you and you got to sow it in your own heart. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as you sow the word, as you speak the word, then you are sowing that word in your own heart. Look at the next verse. It says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have what? Heard, Satan cometh immediately to take away the word that was sown in whose hearts? Their hearts. That's right. So what I have to understand is me confessing the word of God in those early stages is me sowing that word down in my heart. I keep saying, I believe I'm healed. I keep saying, my God supplies all my needs. Even initially, I don't know how. I keep saying it. I keep saying it. What am I doing? I'm just sowing that seed. I keep sowing the seed in my own heart. I keep sowing it. I keep saying it. I keep saying it. And I got to tell you, as I began to do that and meditate, boom, one day I believe it. And now when I say it, I'm not saying it out of an unbelieving heart, out of a wavering heart. I'm saying it because I believe it. Oh, my God. Now the force of faith is activated and I go to a whole nother level. Now things start obeying me. They weren't obeying me at first because I ain't believe. But I'm working the process. Are y'all getting this? Now, turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Faith confession is a verbal statement that I make in agreement with the word of God, the will of God, regardless of my circumstances. Greek word is homologia, to say the same thing as, or to say in agreement with. And that's what a confession is. It's I'm just choosing by an act of my will to say something in agreement with what God's word says. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession, homologia, to say the same thing as, is made unto salvation. So that word, it's, the word means to say in agreement with. Everybody say in agreement with. I cannot be intimidated by my circumstances so that I will cower down and not say what God's word says. Amen. Don't get intimidated by what it looks like. You just choose by an act of your will to say what God's word says. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The next step after believing is speaking. The next step after believing. If I really believe it, I'll say it. Got it? So they go really go hand in hand. I'll say it till I believe it, and then when I believe it, I'm going to really say it. It's the spirit of faith. Everybody say, that's the spirit of faith. When a person got the spirit of faith, not only will they say it, but they not only will they believe it, but they don't mind opening their mouths and saying, this is what God says about my circumstance. This is what God says about my situation. Y'all can laugh at me if you want to now, but you won't be laughing long. Hallelujah. Glory. Look at verse 13. It says, we have in the same spirit of faith according as it's written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. I say it. I'm saying it. I find out what God's word says about my situation and I say it. If I haven't released my faith for some desire, and that's what we're going to deal with in one of these lessons, we're going to be able to actually take a faith project and talk to you how to confess God's word, how to release faith for relationships, how to release faith for situations, how to release faith for material things. Because we found out the Bible says I have a right to ask God. I can ask him for what I will. Amen. So now when I understand this, that believing is really, if I believe it, I'll say it. Because I have to put some action with what I believe. And that first action is a man ought to be willing to speak it and say what God's word says. Now, Romans chapter 4. Let's look and make sure that our confession of faith is scripturally accurate. Because there's a difference between calling those things that be not as though they were and calling those things that are as though they are not. God did not say you were not sick. So for you to say, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, you're lying. That's not a faith confession. Got it? That's not even a positive statement. That's just a flat out lie. What you going to the doctor for? What you end up in that hospital bed for? That's not a faith confession. A faith confession is to say in agreement with what God's word says. What does God's word say? By his stripes you're healed. So when I choose to say, I believe by his stripes I'm healed. Don't have any sense or evidence for it, but I choose by an act of my will. I'm not in denial. That's why I'm in the hospital. You know what I'm saying? I ain't in denial. That's why I'm up in here. That's why I let them, you know, shoot me in my arm and, you know, put the IV in me, because I'm not in denial. There is something wrong. But by an act of my will, I choose to declare by his stripes I'm healed. I'm releasing faith. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. I want to make sure we're accurate with it, because I hear a lot of people, miss it. I can listen to a person talk and tell whether or not they're in faith. I was at a meeting the other day, and this pastor came to me, and and every time I see him, he still hasn't gotten it yet. He still have not yet gotten an understanding of a God kind of faith. Because he said, I'm overcome. I'm getting there. I mean, every time I talk to him, it's about some future point. Faith is now. And so, but so you hear it all the time. So you'd be amazed, because y'all hear faith all the time, so y'all got it. But there is such a need for the simple teaching on faith in the body of Christ. Because the average person, you know, and I understand that if he doesn't have it, it is doubtful that his members have it. Now, some of his members have it because, you know, they listen to other teachers. You got it? But it's doubtful that the great majority, because those who don't take the initiative, you know, to study outside, I mean, to study, you know, other teachers, they won't get it. And so I stopped him. He was talking about it. I stopped him and said, no. And he said, well, you know what I mean? I said, no. I know what you said. Amen. And see, in your heart, you believe that in some time in the future, you will overcome. And that time in the future will never come, because you keep it future. And you're saying future, and you're believing future, and your overcoming will always be some distant away from you. If you put it in the present tense, amen, then your faith is going to go to work for you. Verse 17 says, as it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom you believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and does what? Call those things that what? Be not as though they were. Now that's the difference. That God calls things that be not as though they were. He does not call things that are not. I mean, those things that are as though they're not. You got it? So I don't say, I'm not broke. You got no money? Yes, you are. So a faith confession, number one, has to be personal. Now we're going to prove this with Abraham in just a minute, but it's got to be personal. It's got to be present tense. And then you have to be persistent with it. Personal, present tense, and persist. The just shall what? We live by faith. Now turn to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. It's the testimony of the scriptural examples that confession is a scriptural thing. God taught Abram. He changed his name. And in Genesis chapter 17, that's where I want you to go. Genesis chapter 17. All right? Remember, God had to teach Abram faith, because if Abram couldn't learn faith, then the promise that God had for him, he could not deliver. Even though the promise that God had for Abram was critical to the whole human race. God says, I'm going to bless the whole earth through you. But he couldn't do it until Abram had faith to receive it. Now, that ought to let you know something. That if God would not violate his order for Abram, he's not going to violate his order for you. You have to learn. You have to study this and learn this and operate in it. Amen. All right. Verse 17. Right. All right. Chapter 17. Genesis 17, 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So God changes this man's name. Why? Because he's teaching him the principle of speaking in agreement with what God says about it. So Abram, the name Abraham means Father of nations. So he was saying, every time he said his name or somebody else said his name, what he was hearing was something that was present tense. Not, I am going to be the Father of nations. He said, the Father of nations, I have made you. So he was calling those things that be not as though they were. So he was saying, when he said Abraham, he was saying, I'm father of nations, because that's what God says. He's speaking in agreement with the word of God. He says, it's not a lie, because I'm just choosing by an act of my will to say what God's word says about my situation. And I have scriptural precedence for doing so. And later on in the same chapter, God changed Sarai's name to Sarah, which meant mother of many. And at that time, she was barren. She was not mother of any. But when she heard her name, and she was, somebody said, well, what's your name? She says, my name is mother of many. Well, why are your children? God says, I'm mother of many. If God says, I'm mother of many, I'm mother of many. See, well, he had to be persistent with it. And you won't find Abraham referring to himself as Abram from that moment on.
My God. Glory to God.
From that moment on, before he ever became in the natural father of multitudes, he still called himself that before it happened. Can you call yourself blessed when all around you didn't look blessed? Can you call yourself abundantly supplied when your needs have needs? See, that's what you got to be able to do. And if you'll do it, I got scripture. I didn't make this up. See, it'd be different if you couldn't see it in the scripture, but it's there. They asked John the Baptist one day, what sayest thou of thyself? It's in John chapter 1. He said, he looked in the scripture, got from his what the scripture says, what was prophesied about him. And he didn't say, my daddy is Zachariah. Remember him down at the temple? And my mom is Elizabeth. That ain't what he said. But he found what God's word said about him. And that's what he says. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, making straight the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody say, you got to say what God's word says. So you see, you've got to be disciplined enough to find out what God's word says about you. And then that's what you have to say. Jesus did it. When he announced his ministry, he found what the prophet Isaiah said about it. The Bible says he took the book, and that was their Bible at that day. He took the book, the scroll that was there, and opened the scroll, and he declared in Luke chapter 4 and 18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Well, where'd he get that from? From Isaiah 61. And then he said, and this day, this is fulfilled in your ears. Close the book and sit down. Anybody said, what did he say? Now, he said it, and when he said it, he hadn't healed anybody. He hadn't opened any blinded eyes, but he chose to follow the principle. Because listen, God had to honor his faith, because he operated in the earth like you and me. And until Jesus was willing to verbalize the promise of God over his life, God couldn't move. Amen, amen. So now, turn to Hebrews chapter 10 quickly. We've got just two couple more minutes. And y'all getting blessed tonight?
Yeah.
Is it stirring your faith up?
Yeah.
Watch this. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about our confidence. Everybody say, got to have confidence. Yes. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. Hebrews chapter 10, there in verse 35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. In other words, don't cast away your confidence because, you know, and of course, in this, it's talking about the confession of my faith. Don't cast it away. Don't take it lightly. Don't stop it. Don't let anybody intimidate you, because this process produces results. Amen. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Confidence is based on knowledge. Confidence, is based on knowledge. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, I'll just kind of talk you through it. Paul says, we're confident. Well, I'll go on and find 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you there? Look what he says. We're going to lift it out of his setting, but we're going to take this truth and apply it. All right. Look there in verse 6. It says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We're always confident. Why are we confident? Because of what we know. Confidence comes from what you know. Now, Philemon chapter, Philemon. Turn to Philemon. Yeah, we're on Philemon chapter 1. Ain't one chapter in Philemon. Paul writes a letter to his friend, Philemon, and he, who's found it? Give us the page in the Light Sword Bible. What? 1580 in Light Sword Bible. Philemon, that's one of them little bitty books. Yeah, two pages, right. Look what Paul says in verse 21. He says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto you knowing that thou would also do more than I say. Confidence is based on what you know. Everybody say confidence. It's based on what you know. All right. So if I'm going to have confidence in my confession, it's going to be based on knowledge that I have. And so what do I need to know? Number one, I need to know who I am from what God's word says. Number two, I need to know what Satan can and cannot do. Oh, my God. I need to know what has been given to me based on what God's word says. I need to know the truth in every situation and not just the natural facts. Truth is what the word of God says. I need to know what I should or should not be doing. And I need to know what I should or should not be saying. Y'all want me to give them to you again? Number one, I need to know who I am from God's word. Who does God's word say I am? Because what society told me is a lie. Mm-hmm. I need to know who I am from God's word. I need to know what Satan can and cannot do. What demons can and cannot do. Because I don't need to walk in fear. I ain't afraid of a devil. It's like a roach.
Yeah.
Plenty of roaches, plenty of demons. But I take authority over the roaches.
Yeah.
Amen. I need to know what I've been given based on the word of God. What's mine based on the word of God? I need to know the truth in every situation and not just the facts. I need to know what I should or should not be saying based on what God's word says. I need to know what I should or should not be doing based on what God's word says. We are naturally conditioned to rely on what other folks say. That we have confidence in, we will say what they say. We'll say the mechanic says thus and so about our cars. And we say it with full confidence. We'll say after we go to the doctor says with full confidence. Amen. So now we can do that in those areas. You know, go to the attorney and the attorney, my lawyer says thus and so that my case is going to be settled. I'm just telling you now have confidence in he who cannot lie. And be willing to say, God says, he supplies all my needs according to his riches. Hallelujah. Dr. Bridget preaches it like this. She talks about the layaway plan. Amen. That when I understand that I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, that means the raw material for every need that I have is already. It already exists in heaven's warehouse. And when I open my mouth and began to pray, believe I receive it, it's like the angel goes there and tags it. Now, I don't know how it's going to come to pass, but I know what the process says. Process says, now, I got to confess the word. But that's like making your layaway payment. And you know when you go buy something on layaway, you walk away with the receipt. And you start telling everybody what you bought. You have no evidence of it. They can't see it. But you even go home, start moving stuff around, making room for what's coming out of the layaway. In that same light, when you have confidence in your confession, you go to work with what you have. Amen. And you start talking about it. You start saying it. You start acting like it. Just like when you make your last layaway payment. Amen. They bring what you paid for a home. You bring what you paid for a home with you. And when you begin to confess God's word and your faith works to its fullest extent, that what you believe for becomes yours. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.